Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G tonight. Stephen Robinson says hello. He's on the regular chat. Low Mercury Tuna has already sent a super chat on Entropy. How are you doing, people? Chill show tonight. Ask me anything. If you'd like to discuss, you can come onto the Discord, but I will only get plugged in the Discord if we have callers who have stuff to bring. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Remember all those fires in Canada? Quebec climate change activist pleads guilty to starting 14 fire. Wow. And they were saying that the fires were made worse by climate change, and it's a climate change conspiracy theorist who pleaded guilty to starting 14 fires. Wow, they are causing these events to happen, and then they're saying, look, weren't we right? Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, what came first, the chicken or the egg? There were eggs before chicken, therefore eggs. Now you're going to tell me, okay, but Jeff, this is not what I mean. I mean, what came first, the chicken egg or the chicken? Isn't that interesting that this is what people go to? Like they're like, okay, yeah, there were eggs, like the eggs of frogs, and then there were eggs of reptiles, and then there were eggs of dinosaurs. But I'm not talking about those eggs. I'm talking about those eggs of a chicken. And then it's like, well, you just define the answer. You have come up with what you wanted me to conclude. If it's a chicken egg you're looking for, that egg must have been coming from a chicken, and therefore the chicken was first. It has to be. But we're all in the domain of definitional debate, semantic debate here. Because to have the answer to this question be the chicken, you need to define a very special kind of egg. I'm not talking about those billions of eggs that have existed before. I'm talking about an egg that would come from a chicken. And it's like, well, then there was a chicken that pounded it, right? Karl Maxworth says, he actually a climate change denier, trying to pin the fires on the government, saying that the government were trying to make climate change more real by lighting fires. Also, he's 6D chessing. 6D chessing the whole burning strategy. Brian Parry has pled guilty to starting fires. Parry, who has been detained since his arrest, said little during the hearing, only responding yes to a series of questions from the judge. Can we get the beliefs of the guy? Okay. Blah, blah, blah. She told the court that two of the 14 fires set by him had forced the evacuation of around 500 homes. He also began to post about Quebec's record-breaking forest fire season on his social media pages. They said some of the posts were claims that the fires had been deliberately set by the government to trick people into believing in climate change. Well, okay, but he was right. It's just not... it's just not the government. It was him. It was him. Dead Star says, sometimes I think JF skims too fast. Well, I mean, this is a whole article that just says, oh yeah, there were fires. And it's like getting to the belief of the guy. It took me some skimming, yes. But thankfully, I did the skimming, because else I would be still reading the first few paragraphs. MB14 says, you are complicating it too much, Jeff. The chicken and the egg comes from God. Well, what a way to have a wrong answer to a question that you had at least 50% chance of being right. Kuntzilla says, the fact that a person ignited it is fairly arbitrary, considering that these forests were due to burn and would ignite by some means anyway. Yeah, I don't know to what extent that's true. That would be my feeling. I think that if all it takes is a single fire to start it, it's going to happen because of some concentration of heat somewhere, you know. The sun will just light up in a certain way, a certain leaf, but that's just an impression. I don't know to what extent that's true. Villains says, JF, I'm starting a sales consultant business. I'm super excited for you to shit all over this ID. Let's hear it, Papa. Well, let's... I don't know that I was going to shit on your ID, but since you really want me to shit on your ID, the problem is you are in the scammy domain of training. Now, there are people making money from it, but it's a dirty field, let me tell you. Because you're basically fooling people into thinking that they will make money with the methods you give them. And the reality is you probably don't have much to offer. A sales consultant business. So you're going to be scamming the scammers. You're going to be scamming the salesmen. It is very derivative, parasitic of a system. I consider personally that salesman is parasitic. So canceling the salesman is you're the parasite of a parasite. Now, it's okay. You got to do what you got to do, you know. And if there's money out there that people are willing to throw at you to get the impression that they're getting taught something, then sure, go for it. But I have never seen these sales consultant businesses be useful in any way. It's mostly a scam, and you get money because people have extra money. Now, if we're in a depression, your idea is terrible. If we're in an expanding economic system where people are shitting money, then you may accidentally get splashed by some of it, even if you don't belong in this world. And justice would want you out of a LT economy, but you may have found something to parasitize for a few years and make a living from it. I've seen people who are making big bucks telling farmers, hey, we're gonna train you to sell your meat at higher price. And it's like, okay, they do a little PowerPoint session every day for a month, and okay, you've gone through the training now, and you pay us $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. The fact is, you probably are not worth what you will request in terms of payment. So you're stealing money from people. But hey, if you have a moral elasticity, go for it. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, what is the deepest hole you have ever dug? I trapped a human in a pretty deep hole, let me tell you. That was when I was maybe 10 or 11. We had a cute new neighbor who was maybe about my age. And I was like, okay, our base in the wood is now threatened by this new woman in the neighborhood. We should build defenses. So I started digging and digging. The goal being, let's have a hole that is so deep that once she falls into it, she can't escalate it. She can't get out of it. So I would say, you know, in my mind, it was 10 feet deep, let me tell you. The reality is probably it was 5 or 6 feet deep. But as a child, I was looking at this hole and I was like, holy shit, we dug something here. In my mind, I really see it big. But when you're a child, you see things bigger, you know, and when you remember them as adults, it's probably not as deep as you would think. So I would say that that was probably a 5 feet or 6 feet deep, maybe, hole. It was rectangular, basically the size of a dead body, and with the coffin and everything, like the size that you would fit a coffin in it. And we covered it with we've put very thin layers of branches and some very thin slices of wood to make a kind of fake floor. And then we sprinkled this whole thing with whatever we could find on the ground, on the forest, you know, dead leaves and everything. And man, luckily, because when you set traps for humans, one of the most disappointing thing is that you don't get to see your victim fall in it. But this case, amazingly, like through an act of God or through some sort of amazing luck, I was sitting at the table of my kitchen and I had an angle on the part of the forest where I knew I had dug this hole. And we see the neighbors starting to explore the forest, you know, as new neighbors who just arrived in the village. There was the parents, not so far, and then the kids were going deeper and deeper in the forest. I have seen this 10-year-old neighbor of mine, this woman, approach our base that we had built for years. It was like Indian style logs chopped like this with spears with pointy extremities to kill people who would arrive there. And I saw her approach the base and I saw her just poof, disappear. Her entire body fell into, within a second, she wasn't there anymore. And then I knew that that the trap that we had set, the trap that we had set was working. And we got scolded for this. The neighbors have expressed worries. They were like, we understand your freedom to hang out in the forest, but we just want to be sure that you're not going to do things that could kill us. And I was like, the defenses have worked. Well, did you ever let her out of the hole? Well, eventually it was her parents who, because they were not so far, they were able to rescue her. But yeah, she couldn't have gotten out of it herself. I mean, unless she wanted to escalate and dig little footsteps in the border of the soil. Speaker's Corner says, gotcha, bitch. Oh my God, that was fun. And I had designed other traps that were super dangerous. I mean, one of them, I got hit hard by it because I fell into it accidentally. But I had chopped a whole tree, a whole big tree, which I had chopped, and then I had made it rest vertically on a tree that was still standing. So I had tree still standing, and then I had my chopped tree, which looked like a standing tree. And I had attached a little rope at the basis of it, and I had attached it to another tree such that when you were walking over the rope, the tree was falling on you. And this tree fell on my head, man, because I had forgotten that trap. And when I came back to the forest after having forgotten it, this freaking tree, my God, fell onto me. But yeah, that was what we were doing back in the days as children. Steven Robinson says, JF is a master of outrage marketing, lol. Yes, I'm sure the JF haters will be taking this, clipping this, and sending it to the FBI. But look, the reality about these crimes I've committed in my childhood is the statutory limits are expired. You can't sue me for them. I can just talk about them, and it's my freedom. You had to prosecute me then, or prosecute my parents then, if you felt like this were crimes that hurt you. I regret doing OnlyFans when I turned 18. My subscribers pushed my boundaries, sent degrading messages, and treated me like an object. Well, no shit. I was already posting bikini pictures on Instagram, so I didn't really... Well, yeah, I mean... You are making yourself a sexual object, an article of consumption, and so... And you're making yourself this with strangers. Perhaps it makes sense if you had a husband who's also invested in your long-term well-being to give yourself that way. But you gave yourself against cash with strangers who have no vested interest in keeping you healthy mentally for a long time. Frederick Von Finkel says, Jeff, have you bought anything with Bitcoin, done any genuine trade and business with it, or is it just a digital gold for you? Well, I didn't use Bitcoin to purchase anything, no. But the money I made with Bitcoin has been very good to me in terms of surviving, in terms of buying land, buying cars. So that's... But I've never really done these things by direct Bitcoin payment. It's not really what Bitcoin is for. How the moon affects the tides on Earth. That is a fascinating video because you get to see that ultimately the waves are caused by the irregularities of the relief on Earth. Fascinating to think what would happen with a fully water surface. There may not be the collisions with mountains and then the skipping of the waves and the waves going back, getting some backlash from the impact. That's fascinating. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, I fart too much when I eat legumes. Should I stop eating legumes? Is my body telling me something? It's not a problem to fart. But at the same time, if it makes you feel bad or if it's to the point where it disrupts your life, certainly you shouldn't be eating stuff that disrupts your life. The reality is you need meat and just a few vegetables to survive. In fact, meat is almost enough. Meat is perfect. I don't see why you would eat those beans, except that they're cheap and sometimes it's a good way to save. But yeah, I mean, it all depends. Is your farting impeding with your life? If so, then sure, change your diet. Entropy. Low Mercury Tuna sent me a super chat. He said, Jeff, what would happen if your STD results came back positive? That is a very good question. A very good question, Low Mercury Tuna. I have no clue because they came back negative. And so it's right on for the insemination process. We have the green light, but yeah, I mean, how would my girlfriend have reacted if I had sexual transmissible disorder, which is kind of a miracle that I don't, because I've had sex with way too many women. So, I don't know what would have happened. I guess it depends on the gravity of the sexual disease. If it's a sexual disease that goes away, and there's no risk of transmission after it went away, then I guess perhaps that could have been fine after a period of waiting and retesting. If it was something grave like AIDS, I wouldn't have wanted to have sex and to reproduce anymore. I wouldn't have wanted to waste the life of someone else. So it all depends on the gravity of the disease, I guess. Aren't they fools? Putin says Ukrainian statehood risks irreparable blow if the war continues. Russian President Vladimir Putin gave statements on Tuesday which assess the overall status of the nearly two-year conflict. He says not only has their counteroffensive failed, but the initiative is entirely in the hands of the Russian armed forces. If this continues, Ukraine's statehood could be dealt an irreparable, very serious blow, he added. But he didn't clarify further precisely what he meant by this. They're trying to show that they can also do something, but instead of solving military tasks, they act in such a barbaric way. Attacks are being carried out on peaceful settlements with indiscriminate weapons, Putin said in reference to the past several weeks of cross-border attacks on Belgorod city, which have killed and maimed Russian civilians. Yeah, there's definitely despair and a lack of actual military achievement on the side of Ukraine. And so they do what they can, like, oh, we're going to fuck up the bridge and we're going to do this. But those are not, you're not accomplishing much. You are trying to impose cost on the enemy. But, I mean, Russia is a giant territory and you're trying to attack the armor with a needle, basically. It's like a little parasite just bugging Russia. It really does nothing. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, what is your wingspan in centimeters? When my full angel wings are deployed and I fly in the sky... What is this question? I don't have a wingspan. I don't have wings, bro. So I don't know what you're asking. Are you asking me what is the length of the full deployed arms? I don't know. I'll say about 3 computer screens horizontally placed between one another, plus maybe one in here and one in here. That is the best measure I can give you. My wingspan. Maine Superior Court issues a stay on state's decision to bar Trump from the primary ballot. So they're basically saying, we're going to wait for the Supreme Court decision before. And so it's all in the hands now of the Supreme Court of the U.S., whether these local states can decide to censor a presidential candidate. It would be stunning if the Supreme Court couldn't find here an argument for this, that they couldn't find why that is wrong, deeply wrong. Here we have a king cobra chilling, getting refreshed with water. Bro, don't do this. You don't want to stop the water if he enjoys it. Oh my god. I wouldn't be dealing with a king cobra like this. What the fuck? Jeff, are you ticklish? Where and when were you last tickled? I am really ticklish. I am annoyed and I am reactive to tickling. I ask my partners, my female partners, to not tickle me. I can be ticklish on the feet or on the side of the belly. I don't like being tickled. It's not fun. And so, yes, because I am reactive. I feel the violation of my bodily boundary. Frederick von Finkel says, Jeff, does empathy get in the way of success? You could have this theory based on those cases of people with psychopathic personality being elevated at the top of the economy and the success world, like CEOs and that kind of stuff. Yes, empathy could get in the way of success. Empathy can also be an advantage, allowing you to escalate where it really matters, whether you have the approval of your peers. Empathy can be a tool by which you gain confidence of people. And they are like, oh yeah, I can count on JF as a boss. I can count on him. Once he will have power, he will take good care of me. So it depends on the context. But caring too much about how other people feel may obstruct on your ability to rise above them, to be so competitive as to want them to lose. And ultimately, those may be tools to elevate towards success in certain fields. Now, empathy is also necessary. You need to have some of it. And in certain fields, especially when you have to please the free market, ultimately everything you do is an act of empathy. If you're a cook, you have to think, how do I make this plate better for the customer? How do I produce a better burger? And therefore, empathy, although this often doesn't get marked as empathy, I think it is empathy. I think that everything that capitalism does to better care for the customer is empathy. It's a form of it. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, why does the body react to tickling? It confuses me. Well, what is tickling? You know, tickling is the imitatory signal generated by a human hand of an insect creature. And so the body reacts to tickling because it could be a scorpion killing you. And tickling is associated with laughter, because of the cognitive distance between, oh, well, I thought I was going to get killed by a scorpion, but no, it's just you tickling me. Ha, 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 ha. That is the whole structure of tickling. So, and tickling behavior appears extremely early without much training. I have seen children spontaneously do tickling and do it in a way that they were not taught to do this. So there is something about tickling that is an early learning, an early deployment of a deceptive strategy meant to imitate an aspect of nature that is dangerous. There could be also other reasons that come into the mix. Tickling may be a way to inspect body parts of a partner. Tickling may be a way to monitor the skin or amounts of fat of a partner. I don't know that it's just an imitation of an insect. Hi, LinkedIn family. So this person has lost their job. Hi, LinkedIn family. I was just informed that after almost 3 years at Twitch, that I am affected by our most recent review of the workforce. If you would like to work with me or know someone that needs a talented senior identity engineer, IT director, virtual or in person, or a senior technical program manager, please drop me a line. I'm based in Gainesville, Florida, but I'm willing to consider relocating for the right role. A senior identity engineer. Is this person in charge of counseling people on, okay, we're going to build an identity for you. We're going to, do you feel more like a woman or a man? Well, if so, I do. I am thankful that they were fired from Twitch. There's lots of extra weight at Twitch, and it's plaguing their abilities for creation. Because you can't do politics at Twitch if you're anyhow not leftist. You're going to get banned eventually. Gray says, identity engineer is controlling access to systems. Okay, so they're just controlling passwords. I thought they were like engineering your identity. Like, I feel like you're an African woman. Do you feel like a her? Do you feel like an African woman? I thought that was the identity engineering. But okay, now that makes sense. So there would be scanning identities, basically, ensuring security. Speaker's Corner says, JF, have you ever considered taking a second wife? Have you considered a hole to expedite this process? A hole. I don't know what you mean by whole, but you are asking if I considered taking a second wife. I've had many wives already, more than a second. I've had a third and fourth and fifth. So what you probably mean is, should I have two wives at the same time? I'm totally against polygamy. I think it's absolutely destructive to society and destructive to the relationship itself. There is really nothing to gain in polygamy. Because think about it, even if you were to, well, JF, there's something to gain. You get more babies and more sex. If you're really successful about your polygamy and you turn the whole of society polygamous, or you make so many babies that the next generation is filled with polygamous males like you, you are stuck with a problem. 80% of your male progeny will be sterile. 80% of your male progeny will not get a woman in your polygamous society. So even if you are successful as an individual, you are looking at it from the wrong unit of success. You are depriving 80% of your male descendants from having a female. That's absolute nonsense. So from a genetic perspective, it is not success. Polygamy is a misfiring that favors individual success of one male over the true evolutionary success of your genes. Now, I'm not even touching upon the whole destruction of the marriage contract and the fact that that if I am obligated toward two women, then each of these women have less trust in me, justifiably so, because if we get tightened financially to a point, one of them is going to suffer from it. One of them would be unable to count on me as a provider. So the whole idea of monogamy is I am fully sacrificing all of the risks of being with you, and you are fully sacrificing on all of the risks being with me, and we go that way, and we know that the bottom of risk is not that I have four other wives that I have to pay for. The bottom of the risks is worst case scenario, you and I are trying to survive with little, which is not dramatic. But the bottom of risk, the bottom of the barrel in a polygamous society is that a conflict emerge, a preference of wives emerge, a new younger wife shows up, changing the dynamic of the couple, and also the fact that you are condemning a large section of your male descendants to never benefit from a reproductive life. Shady Jesus says, Jeff, have you considered unblocking academic agent now that he's reconsidered his fatwa against Keith Woods and Nick Fuentes? I didn't know he reconsidered his fatwa because I blocked him. I blocked him because he said, I'm not going to talk to anyone who's friend with Keith Woods. And I was like, I'm friends with Keith Woods. Block. Sure, I'm open to unblocking him if you tell me that he changed his view on this. MB says, today the woman loyalty problem is the biggest disaster. Yes, definitely. And there's really no fix other than imposing it socially and legally. We need to force them, basically. It's just not going to happen naturally. So we need a contract that simply acknowledges that, hey, you are consuming male lives. Like, you can't just take this from the male and not take this. The marriage is a contract, and you have to take it for better or worse. That's simply this, because what females are trying to do today is to partly consume the plate of marriage, to consume just the things they like of it. Vivek Ramaswamy, amazing speech with Trump, and now he's on the path of doing a campaign to help Trump get elected, help him right now in New Hampshire. The administrative state is fundamentally unconstitutional, and it's time to shut it down. If the Supreme Court overturns the Chevron deference, as today's oral arguments suggest they are poised to do, this could be the single greatest advance for liberty and self-governance in decades. I had to Google it, the Chevron deference. It's this idea that when Congress has said that a certain administrative entity in the federal government had control of something, but they have not specified all of the rules, that administrative entity has the privilege of building the rules themselves. So you end up having rules that are applying on the market, and the courts cannot even undo these rules. It's the whole idea that courts must find that the rules are truly wild and unreasonable to undo these rules. So basically giving powers, the politicians are not accountable because they're like, oh, we didn't do the rules. But it's the agency with its executives that ends up saying, oh yeah, crypto is a security here. And so you end up having no one to punish for it. Unelected bureaucrats making decisions for the American economy. And I would be very excited if the Supreme Court can, as Vivek plans it, challenge this this rule. We had a billboard literally realizing a page of the revolutionary phenotype. The billboard was publicizing Elon Musk's tweet saying, having children is saving the world, and make more babies, make more babies, make more babies, make more babies. And I've been screenshotting a copy of this page of the revolutionary phenotype, page 82. Nevertheless, the moral babies meme spreads with some degree of success. and in fact is passed on for thousands of years, thus lowering the reproductive success of everyone who shares it, until a mutation occurs in one human, making him incapable of passing on that meme. This particular human being is the trickster. When passing on any meme, the trickster first parses the meme and replaces all instances of the letters AL with the letter E. The trickster being exposed to an incoming flow of moral baby memes, therefore systematically changes the meme before sharing it, spreading the following sentence across his social media: make more babies. For simplicity, again, let us suppose that any human who shares this new sentence is somehow made more likely to produce offspring and therefore increase their evolutionary fitness. According to simple math in this system, as long as there are people sharing the moral baby meme, there will be a counter-evolutionary force increasing the evolutionary success of tricksters. And in this fictional environment, there is one certainty. The tricksters are increasing their representation in the population while the other people are headed toward extinction. Sooner or later, no one will even be capable of passing on any meme with the letters AL. And I think Elon Musk might be the trickster. Isn't it the case that Elon Musk is faced with a society that is anti-natalist? So he is faced with the make moral babies meme, and he's responding by publishing the make more babies meme. I wonder if the person having chosen to pay for this billboard, I wonder if they're a reader of the Revolutionary Phenotype. That is on my mind, because he did choose the exact same phrasing, where the Elon Musk phrasing is not exactly the same. Make more babies is literally the trickster meme in the Revolutionary Phenotype. Karl Marx's word says, just use something like condoms are gay, telling people what to do as the reverse effect. I don't know. Maybe. The FBI has arrested a transgender woman plotting violence against Jews, black people, and allegedly targeting transphobic co-workers with Nazi imagery and stockpile of guns and ammunitions. Okay, so a trans person who was 56-year-old, Elizabeth Ballesteros West. She was a dominatrix from hell. Where did I read this? she was a dominatrix from hell. She had Nazi imagery and was playing the kind of role-playing Hitler or role-playing SS in her sexual adventures. There are people who are deeply confused, and they end up doing crazy stuff. All right, Trump's trial in E. Jean Carroll. There was a contentious day where Trump has asked for a mistrial, and Trump has started disrespecting the room by saying it very loudly, talking with his lawyer loudly, and saying it's a circus, it's a farce, it's a clown trial. And the judge has said that they would kick out Trump, and Trump answered to the judge, I would very much love this. So, I mean, it's a ridiculous trial in which this is the E. Jean Carroll. I got raped in a Heaton, in a Sears, whatever, shopping place by Trump 25 years ago or whatever. And now they are at the point where Trump is already found guilty by jury and they're deciding the damages now. It's a ridiculous trial. I hope it gets totally undermined by the Supreme Court. This joke made me laugh, kind of. You know, the Babylon Bee is a little too kosher for me in terms of humor, but this one was kind of good. Trump promises Vivek an administration position running the White House 7-Eleven. And you get Vivek Ramaswamy, the eternal Indian operator of 7-Eleven. Vivek, the glass ceiling is there for real, forcing Vivek instead of becoming a vice president, he's going to still operate a grocery. And some people were offended. I don't know who they are, but I think it's a made up offense. I think it's freaking hilarious. And even Vivek himself is laughing because Matt Walsh came to the defense of the joke. And Vivek says, "I'm a survivor." So he's mocking the left terminology. I am a survivor. I have survived this joke. What do we have? What a wonderful learning institution. Some fight in the hall of a black school, apparently. How do you want to control this chaos? You would need an official agent of security for each child. If you're 5, 6, it's not enough. You're gonna control a pair of them. Two or three of them will come from behind and hit you as you try to control them. Dead Star. Interesting comment by Dead Star. This is who sticks plans on giving vouchers. I mean, there is a danger with vouchers. I'm enthusiastic about vouchers for only one reason. It deprives the public schools from power and from funding. So it destroys the public school, really. But once you start giving vouchers for having babies, the problem is, and you start saying, well, even if you're homeschooling these children, we're still going to give you the voucher. I'm all for it as a proponent of homeschooling. Like, I wouldn't want homeschooling to be punished by this system. But the problem is now you reward arbitrary baby making. And once all of these people are in the hood instead of at school, getting paid to be children, you have a whole other problem on your shoulder. So MB says, what is a voucher? So vouchers are, they're just saying, instead of giving money to the school you attend to, we're going to give money to the student. And so let's say a student carries with him $10,000 per year. If he chooses to go in that school, the $10,000 will go to that school. If he chooses to go to another school, the $10,000 will be going to that other school. If he decides to be homeschooled, the $10,000 will be given to his parents. That's the principle of vouchers, and it's to restore some kind of competitive environment into an environment that is extremely decaying, which is the monopolized public school system. Shamrock Shake says, it is a Trojan horse. It is in many ways, and it is ultimately social welfare for living. It is a way to imbue a communistic approach. Now, again, I have a half and half view on it. I think that it's very dangerous, and I'm generally against UBI. but there are circumstances where the state has taken so much of our money for that, that getting back some of it might be a good thing to at least remove power from the state to begin with. And then we can fix the problems of society that are caused by this kind of backlash that vouchers are. Shrigmamel sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, what are your thoughts on becoming a parasite at work by accepting the job that's for lazy people? The way I see it, someone far lazier than me would take it. Well, it's not about any of this. So basically, Shrigmamel told me today that he has been given an offer of a position in his corporation that is super appealing from a salary perspective. And it's basically it's an easier job that will give him more money. And it's a lazy job. But he's going to be paid so much overtime and so much whatever that it's going to lead him to cash in a lot. So the answer is you go for it. You go for what is the most in your interest. Now, this is a case where you got lucky with a position that will not be intellectually rewarding. So you will not feel accomplished as a man doing that. It's just literally going to be sitting and chilling and being paid enormous amounts of money for it. Well, you shouldn't let this be the center of your life. You should strategically parasitize this job for as long as you need it to put yourself in a superb financial situation. So that means having a full house, fully paid, with no debt, and being on the road to a productive family. Now, be careful. You don't want this to be lowering your testosterone and making you into a lesser man. So you want to keep side activities in your life. Some of it may be intellectual, whatever. Something that realizes yourself to a full potential. And it can be a hobby, it can be the pursuit of love, it can be whatever. If you like to play chess, play chess. If you like to watch JFG Tonight, watch JFG Tonight. Make sure that you don't let this reduce you as a kind of low-life, do-nothing bureaucrat. And make sure that you keep your cognition active. Also, make sure that you have something attractive to women, because this job in a pale bureau of being some administrator doing shit, doing nothing, basically, will not be charming for a woman. So make sure that you do cash in on this and that the cash at least is attractive to women. Make sure that you are a man who pursues a higher realization of yourself outside of the work through a hobby in which you're particularly good or something that you're good at. And then the question of taking that job is just, yes, you take that job because you have to, because it's the best option on the table. You don't have to take it forever. But you take it for as long as you need, as long as it's putting you in a superior financial position. And since you've not been so lucky on the dating side, Shrigmamel, don't worry. First, you're young. Second, you're accumulating money with that job for the next few years. And third, you will collect all of the fish that is being pushed right now by the great net of the depression and the normie squeeze. And you're going to be in perfect financial position in 2 or 3 years from now. You're going to have cashed in with this big job. You're going to have a whole house. You're going to be ready for insemination, and you're going to have all these women in their apartments on the streets, basically sucking dick for $30 a day. And you're going to be like, hey, you can make more than $30 a day sucking my dick. And like, you don't even have to suck my dick. If I can just inseminate you, we're going to have babies. Rodita Sid says, yes, but JF, if you can suck as much resource from the system with least effort, maybe he can even do something else on the side while he's lounging, being a security guard or something. Yeah, exactly. So if your job is so lazy that you're going to have time, so you can use that time to keep your cognition up, to do whatever you feel is a good realization for you, you know? For example, if you told me, Jeff, you now have a job that you have nothing to do, you have 12 hours a day where you're just sitting on a chair, I would totally take the notepad and a pencil and I would be doing math all day. So maybe that's not your thing, but whatever is your thing, you do need to keep yourself at it, and don't let yourself become an unattractive male, because you're going to have all that money. So you're going to be in a good position to be attractive to women, to offer them stability and, offer them a stable dick to suck. Shrig Mamel says, yeah, my job is the type of job where I have free time for 8 to 12 hours. Well, there you go. You're going to have opportunities to browse the internet, I'm guessing, and do whatever pleases you. Crypto Geek says, leaked reports reveal Vitalik Buterin is to resign as head of the Ethereum Foundation following release of emails between him and SEC officials. I believe it's Stephen Robinson that's been sending me this news story. I don't know what's the extent of it, because I haven't had time to look at the emails yet. Look, Vitalik Buterin, heading the Ethereum Foundation. I don't know. I don't know if it's a big deal. I don't know him very much. I know that people are telling me that he was the guy who was basically looking at Bitcoin and saying, no, the blockchain should be Turing complete. The blockchain should be able to solve all possible mathematical problems. And I'm totally in with this vision. I love it. I think it's great in the long term. But do we need him as an individual? I don't know. I don't know that he's necessary. But I also don't know that his emails are compromising to the extent that it is claimed in these stories. I'll see when I have the chance to see if he resigns for real and see what's his explanation about it and read the emails. Vivek Ramaswamy offers Ron DeSantis a deal. He suggests he should drop out to unite against the neocon Nikki Haley. Yeah, the problem, Vivek, is Vivek is calling Nikki a snake. I like this. But the problem is DeSantis is not going to back out to fight against Nikki Haley. DeSantis is very much on the side of the neocons. And if he's going to back out from the race, it would be for teaming up with Nikki Haley. So maybe Vivek knows this, but he's just trying to throw a wrench in the bicycle. But yeah, I don't expect Ron DeSantis to side with Trump. Stephen Robinson says, Vitalik tipped the SEC that XRP is a security and that ETH is not. It is called the ETH free pass from the SEC. Yes, but I'd like to see this argument, because I think he may be correct. XRP was held as a reserve asset by the XRP team. I believe that the initial obtaining of XRP was kind of gated by them in some form, whereas the ETH was mined through a public process. I'd have to look at the history and see if... I know there's all sorts of details, and I'm really not an expert on this because I've never read the history of it all. But, like, suppose that he's made this argument. Isn't it the argument you would expect? Isn't it the argument you would expect from someone who has in his heart the defense of ETH? Of course, he's going to say, they are a security. We're not. Of course, that's what I would expect. Like, what? Why would that be a problem? The Houthis continue striking Red Sea ship with drone on the day the U.S. terror designation takes effect. So it is now official. The Houthis are a terrorist group. But, I mean, this designation was already announced and was to come because they've been attacking ships. The federal government has been uncovered a program that was flagging financial transactions that use terms like MAGA and Trump for financial institutions. So when you send just a little trivial transfer, but you use the question Trump or the password Trump, or you give yourself a username Trump25 in your bank, they are tracking these things. What was also flagged, if you bought a religious text like a Bible, or if you shopped at Bass Pro Shop. So you see how it doesn't take much for the social credit system to take over. So you had a little username when you were young, Trump25. You go to Bass Pro Shop so you could have bought a gun. And now, oh, you bought a Bible there. Now I have all of the patterns to do religious oppression of Christians and free and freedom-loving Americans, basically. If I just have these three things on you, I can already put you in a category for the purpose of oppression or better monitoring or all sorts of fascism. Yes, Chinese fascism, Lendalt Guntram. Absolutely. And as a last news item, Kanye West compares himself to the Bond villain Jaws after his teeth were removed and replaced with titanium dentures worth $850,000. Are you fucking kidding me? Kanye West now has this... Why do they kind of look folded, or how does that work here? What's this fold? Is this a hair from Kanye, or is it that the dentures are just like that? They are kind of imperfectly molded for appearance. So anyways, Kanye West has installed those dentures, making him technically a vampire at this point. The bird flu says, he trout the whole trout and nothing but the trout, so help me God.